All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, we'll read verses 19 through 34. I really wasn't, like I said, Brother Charles was supposed to be back at teaching this morning, and I found out yesterday that he wasn't going to be back. So Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19 through 34. We live in a very materialistic world where people want more, 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 more. So we're going to look at materialism today, and materialism is the love of things. Is there anything wrong with having things? Is there anything wrong with having good things? No, there's not a thing in the world about it, but what you don't want is you don't want things to own you, that you've got to have it. And we do. It's just absolutely crazy. You know, a guy buys a brand new bow, and next year they come out with a new version, and guess what they got to have? They got to have the new version. They'll buy that bow, my memory's probably not, I'm going for a few years, but to buy a brand new bow costs $700. Now, that's just the bow. That's not counting the sights and the quiver and all the other stuff you got to have. And so they'll buy it for $700. You know what it's worth next year? About half that. Yeah, you know, about half that. And but they'll buy another one next year, or if they wait 2 or 3 years, then... And look, I say that because I like to hunt, so I pick on something. But it's not just hunters. I mean, it's everybody wants the best of everything, and what they have isn't good enough. And you know what? Whatever you get, I mean, you know, I say this a lot. But you drive by the junkyard. Every one of them cars out there one day was somebody's pride and joy. You know, I mean, So. So sometimes we're too connected to materialism. If you're going to buy a new car, buy it between now and Wednesday. Y'all knew that, right? Because after Wednesday, if you trade a vehicle and it's worth over $10,000, you got to pay tax on it again in Illinois. The governor, there's 120 laws coming out on Wednesday. New laws in effect. Next week, you'll be able to buy marijuana in Flora, Illinois, probably. Yeah, isn't that good? And the money that they're going to make from the taxes, you know what I heard they're planning on using it for? To give to the policemen to handle the problems that they're going to have from the people who are smoking the marijuana. Now, does that make any sense to you whatsoever? You know, but yes, sir. That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that they want to do that. Libertarians are big about that. Libertarians are normally conservative, and what they want is they want the government out of their business, and they say it's none of their business if I want to do drugs. And, you know, but if they do that, I think that it ought to be a law that if they catch you one time operating under the influence, you ought to lose your license forever. Because just whether or not you agree or disagree, and you know I disagree, but if you have a right to do that, but can I tell you what's not a right? Driving is not a right. Driving is a privilege because they ain't your roads. You say, well, I pay taxes. Yeah, but you just pay a small portion. Everybody else does too. But anyway, it's just a mess we live in today. I was at Huck's this morning, and there was a girl down there who was buying. I mean, I got up early this morning. I woke up before my alarm clock. I woke up before 4 o'clock this morning. And I could not go back to sleep. And it was really weird because it was raining. And normally if it's raining, I can sleep even if I'm not tired. But this morning I got up and I laid there. Finally I said, well, I'm going to get up. And I got up and took my shower and just went out. And I think the Lord wanted me at Huck's early this morning because there was a girl there this morning, a young lady there this morning. Guess what she was doing at about 4:20 this morning? Buying lottery tickets. 4:20 in the morning. I said... And I don't remember what I said. She said, I won $33. I said, how much did you spend? She said, 50-something. And then while I was standing there, she bought 50-something more dollars, and she won 13, and she was excited because she won $13. No, not very good at math either, you know, but... Yeah, it just amazes me at what people will do thinking they're going to win so they can have more. And, you know, it's just crazy. But anyway, I believe the Bible has a lot to say about materialism. Jesus even talked about it a lot. And like I said, he doesn't condemn having material possessions. There's not a thing in the world wrong with having a house, having a car, having two cars, and all this other stuff. It's when they possess you. And when you have to have the best of everything. And, you know, I have found in my life that most of the time you get a really, really good quality if you go mid-range. If you buy cheap, guess what you get? Cheap. And usually the difference in the best isn't worth mid-range. And so I try to spend my life kind of in the mid-range area and things like that. But we want to be careful with that. So this morning I thought we'd talk about materialism in Sunday school. Matthew chapter number 6 and in verse number 19. Matthew chapter number 6 and in verse number 19. This is probably the best chapter on it, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Verse number 24 says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. Now gather into barns, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse number 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so we're going to talk about material possessions this morning, and we want to make sure that they do not possess us. And that we, because, you know, we'll look at, there's several things that we'll look up out here this day. Father, we do pray that you'd bless and help us as we look into the Bible this morning to study about having things. And Lord, there's so many people in the world who things have become the most important part of their life, and they can never have enough. Father, I pray you'd bless and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we just finished Christmas, and for many people, guess what Christmas is about? What I can get. What I can get. That's what a lot of people focus on. And I believe Christmas has done a lot of harm, especially to young people. How many of you remember laying awake at night, waiting so you could get up and see what was under the tree that morning? And it seemed like the night drug on forever and all of that. And then how many of you remember kids who even little kids, sometimes people spend an exorbitant amount of money on little kids. I had somebody call me a while back and said, could you help me? My child is having a birthday, and I want to make sure it has birthday presents and stuff this year. And my first question was, how old is your child? And she said, he's 4 months old. I'm like, really? You do know that that child has no idea what you've gotten it, you know. But they were this idea that they had to have something to give a four-month-old. You know what the four-month-old wants? Milk. Wants his diaper changed. Wants a bed to lay down in, and all of those things. And so even this at the time of the year we're in, we see materialism exposed. Listen, that's why people are willing to fight in Walmart on Black Friday, because there's limited items. You know why they do limited items at extremely great prices, don't you? Because they know if they can get you in there. Yeah, you're going to buy something else. We was talking about gambling today. I was talking with some guys about gambling. And I told them, I remember years ago when I was in Brigham Hill at North in Corinth, Mississippi there, Tunica. If you would go to Tunica with your paycheck and cash your paycheck at Tunica, Tunica's a big gambling place. If you would cash your paycheck, they would give you two coupons for a free buffet and a $20 chip to go gambling with. Now, why would they give you two free buffets and a free gambling chip? Yeah, because most people would go in there and they would gamble the $20, and what would most people do? They'd reach where that cash check was. Now, there were some people who used to go to Tunica. I knew a couple, not very many, a couple go to Tunica every paycheck, get a free meal, and they'd go in and gamble their $20. I don't even want to do that, but they'd go in and then they'd come home. And they said, it's a free night out with my wife. All it takes is the 90-mile trip there and back and stuff. So, but most people can't do that. But material possessions. Number one today, as we look at this, material possessions are trouble. And that's not saying they're bad, but they're just trouble. And how are they trouble? Number one, obtaining them is trouble. Obtaining them. Getting things sometimes causes a problem. And we have to be careful that those things don't become super important. And so there is a danger of covetousness. Covetousness, there's a danger of that. Anybody know what Joshua chapter number 7 is talking about? Anybody know the story? It's about Achan. How many remember the story of Achan? When God took over Jericho, he told the nation of Israel, I'm going to give you this land. You're going to have all this land, and it is a land that flows with milk and honey. But I'm going to give it to you. But he says, when you come into the area and we come to Jericho, that's the first one. Who did Jericho belong to? It belonged to God. He said, don't take anything from Jericho because it is mine. And so they went through there. And you know what? Really, the miracle of Jericho was the fact that, to the best of our knowledge, only one person took something. And that was Achan. And in Jeremiah chapter number 7, I got you the verses there so you can look it up later. But Achan said this, when they finally found out who had done it and those men had lost their lives, they asked Achan, what did you do? He said, well, first I saw it. He said, then I coveted it, and then I took it. You know, you have to be careful with your eyes because, man, you see something and you want it. And I believe Satan will help us with this. He'll cause there to be a desire that getting this will be the most important thing ever. Think of King David when he was up on his roof that day. He saw Bathsheba, and then he coveted her. And then what did he do? He took her. I was reading. I'm ahead on my Bible reading. I finished my Bible Saturday. I read my Bible in 2019. I try to do it at least once a year. Sometimes I do it more, but I finished it up on Saturday morning. And so this morning I thought, well, I'll just start in January 1st, you know. So this morning I got up and was back in Genesis, and I read in Genesis, and then I went to the book of Matthew, because that's in the first in the New Testament, and I was reading the genealogies. Sometimes you struggle with the genealogy, but I don't know, this morning I was just reading those genealogies and was thinking about those people, and it talked about David gave birth to Solomon, whose mother was the wife of Uriah. And I underlined that, and I thought, wow. All these years after David had committed that act, and God made sure in the book of Matthew, in the genealogies, to throw in there to remind people of David's sin. And David did sin. Why? Because he wanted something that God did not want him to have. And so there's that. Malachi chapter number 3, verses number 8 and 9, talking about covetous. The Malachi asked the nation of Israel a question. Will a man rob God? How many people, if you ask them flat out, will you rob God? They'd say, oh no, I'd never rob God. And he said, well, you have robbed God. And they said, how have we robbed God? And what did he say? Tithes and offerings. If you keep something that don't belong to you, what is that? That is stealing, yeah. And people don't like that. They get angry at that. But it's still in the Bible. And so they rob from God in tithes and offerings. So number one, there's the danger of covetousness. And then there's also a danger of compromise. Genesis 13, deals with Lot and Abram. They had so much. Genesis 13, Abram and Lot had so much. What happened? They were fighting. What do you think the fighting was about? Yeah. There was land. Now, what would have been the best situation? Do you think the best situation was done? How'd it turn out? Turned out good for Abraham. How'd it turn out for Lot? Because they said, well, since we can't get along, what are we going to do? We're going to separate and divide. And you know what? We see that happening all the time today in churches and everywhere else. If we can't get along, what do? We just won't have anything to do with them anymore. is that what God wants? Doesn't the Bible say, if possible, live peaceably with who? All men. You know, rather than divide, why don't we agree? And if we're going to agree, what do we have to agree on? We have to agree on the Word of God rather than fuss and fight and hammer and all that other stuff. So anyway, what did they do? They had a compromise. All right, we're going to separate. One's going to go one way, one's going to go the other way. And Abram gave Lot the opportunity to pick. And of course, Lot looked around and said, I'm going to take the best. And how did that work out for him? Getting the best didn't help him too much. And of course, Genesis chapter number 19 is where God comes and destroys Sodom, where Lot was, because of the sin that was in there. You know, it would have been a whole lot better to go somewhere else and not have sin in your life, wouldn't it? Than to have everything you thought you wanted and follow out. You know, and that's where a lot of people do today. They compromise so that they can have what they want to have. And that, and we have to be careful. It can bring compromise, and then of course it can bring conflict. Matthew chapter number 6 in our text there, verse number 4 says this: No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon has to do with riches and wealth and all these other things. Is there anything wrong with being wealthy? But there can be a problem with being wealthy, don't it? The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Master, we know that thou art good, for no man can do what you do except you be good. And Jesus said, there's no man good but me. And he said, what must I do to enter in the kingdom of heaven? He said, well, keep the commandments. I've kept them all. He said, well, then one more. Go sell everything you got, give it to the poor. And had he kept all the commandments? Which one had he broken, probably? Yeah, but thou shalt not covet. His possessions were more important to him than who? Than God and Jesus. And so we have to be careful that we do not have this matter of covetousness in our life, and we'll compromise. We'll settle for it. I mean, I know some people that try to do that with their giving and stuff. And you know, what you give is between you and the Lord, but the Bible does have much to say about it, and there's a danger of conflict. So number one, one of the problems with possessions or troubles is obtaining it. Number two is maintaining it. In Luke chapter number 12, it's a familiar parable. Jesus taught a lot by the parables. Excuse me. But in Luke chapter number 12, and in verse number 15, I think you'll be familiar to it. And he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Out of all the things that you possess, what are you taking to heaven with you? Not one thing is going to heaven with you. If Jesus comes back tomorrow, what's going to happen to all your possessions? Yeah, eventually that's what's going to happen. Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But, you know, you can't take it with you. The Bible says in verse number 16, he's teaching about this matter of covetousness. He said, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, and I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will got to forgive me, my eyesight's killing me. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse number 20 said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so we have to, where am I at here? I lost my place. Maintaining it. Here was a rich man who, why do you need bigger barns? How much money do you need? Billionaires, I'm like, really? Billionaire? That's 1,000 millions. Yeah, what are you, 1,000 millions. And then you read these guys have got 20, 30, 40 million, billion dollars. I'm like, what are you going to do with it? And there's, you know, if I had billions of dollars, number one, I could never imagine having billions of dollars because there's too many people out there who has needs. You know why God said he's giving you stuff? He's giving you to give others. But a billionaire, and it's like they're not even happy. You know, if I was a billionaire, I definitely wouldn't be working anymore trying to make more money. Well, I guess I would. I say that. I've never had a billion, but it, you know what it amounts to, don't you? Covetousness. Wanting more and more and more and more. And a lot of times, guess what that causes? What's what happens to them? In their desire to reach more, what do? I worked for a place called Tennessee Press one time, and that guy had a, man, that man was brilliant with what he did, that job. We made potato chip bags, and he found a niche that needed to be filled, and he became a millionaire in just a few years. But was a million enough? Was being a millionaire enough? He wanted more and more and more. Now, so he decided to compete with the big guys, Frito-Lay and all of those. But Frito-Lay had so much money, they replaced every one of their machines every 3 years. All their presses, all of their slitters, all of their laminators, they replaced them every 3 years. Guess where this guy bought his stuff from? From the used ones they were getting rid of. And so he was trying to compete with people running brand new, top-of-the-line equipment with equipment that would break down. Why did they get rid of it? Yeah, them things run 24 hours a day, at least 5 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. Them machines are running. And guess what he ended up? He ended up bankrupt because he tried to do, I mean, he had a perfect little niche and was making good money. And it was absolutely amazing that that one day I went back and was going to check on him, and the whole place was closed down because he went bankrupt. So retaining it is a hard thing to do. maintaining it is. And then retaining it. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19 talks about thieves and moss and rust. If you have a lot, there are people out there who want to take it from you. I mean, I don't know if you watch the news and stuff, but the big thing now is stealing your packages that you set up. I kind of like those people who booby trap patches and set them out for the thieves to grab, you know. And there's been a lot. There's been people come up with some pretty unique things and to do. You know, this one lady she took her cat litter and put it in there and put garbage in there, all this other stuff, and boxed it up and set it on the front porch. And then she came home, and guess what? It was gone. yeah, it was gone. But thieves and moss, I was having some work done on my truck the other day, and a guy says, you know, he says, you got some of that, I forget what he calls it, I got a little rust around a wheel well. I said, yeah, I'd had it when I got there and doesn't look like it's grown a bit, you know, which is praise God, but nicest vehicle in the world, guess what'll happen if you're not careful? It'll start to rust. So retaining stuff is hard too. Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 4 says this, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Wealth maketh many friends. What does that mean? They like you when you're rich, especially if you what? Yeah, if you're doling it out, you'll have more friends than Quakers got oats, man. Everybody will show up if you're doling it out. But but when the money's gone, where are those people? They'll be gone too. That's exactly right. So material possessions do cause trouble. I mean, just think about owning a house. It doesn't matter if you own a good house or a bad house. You know what you got to do? You got to maintain it. Yep. Something's going to break. Things are going to happen. You own a vehicle. My boys, you know how many of our boys are materialistic? All of my, you know, Rock, of course, he's going to have a Ferrari and he's going to have a Ford. What is that good truck they got now? Ford Raptor. He's going to have one of those. And they're always talking, Dad, wouldn't you like to have that Raptor, whatever that thing is? I'm like, no. I am perfectly happy with the truck I've got. You know? I mean, I really am. You say, what if somebody gave it to you? Well, I guess I'd take a better one, but I sure ain't looking for one. I'm just praying, Lord, let this one last a long time. I got to have some work done tomorrow, and the guy said, he was telling me about the parts. One of them, I can get the part for 25 or I can get it for 80. And I said, well, which one would you put on your truck? He said, well, that depends. I said, what? He said, how long are you going to keep it? Now, let me interpret that. If you're going to sell it tomorrow, put the cheap one on. Let the other guy deal with it. But if you're going to drive it, I'd put the more expensive one on it. So I said, yeah, I'll put the more expensive one on it because I plan on driving it, you know, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, materialism. We need to, number one, materialism possessions are trouble. Two, material possessions are temporary. no matter what you've got, it's only going to last. You know, we're just crazy people, aren't we? How many like pets? Raise your hand, you like pets. I like pets. I'm a dog person, but I got a dog. My dog Ben died many, many years ago. I said, that's it. I'm done. I ain't having no more pets. I am done. Man, that's miserable. You know, you fall in love with this little rascal, and it don't do one thing to deserve it, you know? And then one day you're just broken up because your pets died. And then Hannah wanted a pet. We bought her Prissy, this little bitty long-haired Dachshund that when we brought it home, you could put it in your pocket. Man, what happened? Fell in love with that thing. It ran off one day. Whole house was disrupted. Whole house was disrupted. It was gone. It was night. We couldn't find it. We walked all over. Prissy, Prissy. We didn't find it. Daylight the next morning. Julie's 4. She gets up and she's got her gown on and her rubber Barney boots. And she's, where are you going? I'm going to go find Prissy. Out the door she went. Whole house disrupted. You say, did you ever find her? Yeah, we found her. Some guy was mowing down the road back there, and Prissy was sitting on that zero-turn radius lawnmower like she owned it, you know. And we brought her home and all of that. And you say, where is she now? She died. Broke her heart. Now we got Mo. We got Hot Rod. We just found out Hot Rod has heartworms, you know. Hallelujah for that. But everything is temporary. We do know that things will, anybody know what the second law of thermodynamics is? Things tend to disorder. The second law of thermodynamics proves that evolution couldn't work. Do things get better? Things by nature get worse. Now there may be a degree where it gets a little better, but the truth of the matter is things tend to disorder. Moss and rust is going to corrupt. Thieves are going to come, steal it away. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, God says this, that the earths are going to melt away with a fervent heat. So that means your most prized possession, what's going to happen to it? It's going to melt down. Hoarders. I don't understand hoarders too much. Why you keep everything. Now, Brother Souter says you've lost something. I was talking to him. I have a brother-in-law that's a big hoarder. And, you know, if you're a hoarder, I'm not saying anything bad about you, but I just don't understand it. But he said, most of the time, though, people who hoard have lost something. there's been a big loss in their life. And so the flesh responds by keeping everything. A lot of people who went through the Great Depression, you know what they became? Yeah. We was helping clean out a guy's house in Mississippi one time, and they had every peanut butter jar they had ever eat. Little cardboard boxes that tea came in. They had all of them. Break them down, fold them up so they could put more. They kept everything. And I was like, you know, it took forever to get those things. My brother-in-law, he don't even know what he's got. But everything we have one day is going to melt. And so my philosophy in life is I don't use it or give it to somebody who can. My son-in-law, Ben, collects knives. And I had this knife. I kept thinking I'd sell it. I took it with Benny one time. We went down to where these knife trader guys was, and I said, I'm going to go with you. I just want to see what this knife is worth. So I took him this knife. It was a real small Case XX knife. And I let this guy, I said, who's the best? He said, that guy there probably the best. So I said, hey, how much is this knife worth? And he opened it up, and he looked at it. It's in great shape. And he said, I'll give you $75 for it. Now, this is a little old bitty Case XX knife. And I said, well, I really don't want to sell it. I just want to know what it's worth. And he said, well, I'll give you $75. And he never would tell me what it's worth. This other guy said, well, if you go ask that guy over there, he's pretty good with knives. He'll tell you what it's worth. So I walked over to that guy and said, hey, can you tell me what this knife is worth? And he looked at it for a few minutes, and he said, what'd he offer you for it? I said, $75. He said, I'll give you $80. You know, nobody would tell me what that knife is worth. And so I thought, I'm going to keep this thing, you know. Maybe the family heirloom someday. One day we may all become a millionaire on a knife. Y'all do know that's not going to happen, right? And then my son-in-law, you know, he really likes knife and collects knives. And so, you know, one day I thought, I'm just going to give that to my son. I don't do anything with it, you know. So I just gave it to my son-in-law. And he'll appreciate it a whole lot more than I will because he collects knives. But for me, I should have either sold it or done something with it because it didn't mean anything to me. But they're temporary. Do they bring satisfaction? Do possessions bring satisfaction? Temporarily. That's exactly right. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4 and in verse number 8, listen to what the Bible says. There is one alone and there's not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all of his labors, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yes, it is a sure travail. He said his eye is never satisfied. There are some people who have more money than they could ever spend, and yet what do? They need more. They need more. They need more. I've mentioned to you, somebody asked a very, very wealthy man, how much money do you want? One more dollar. One more dollar. And it doesn't. If you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, which I really recommend you do, this is Solomon. The Bible said Solomon made silver. So there was so much wealth in the land that silver was as nothing. There's a guy on the YouTube. His name is Mark Dice. He's kind of he does a lot of conservative stuff, but he took a 10-ounce bar of silver and went and tried to sell a 10-ounce bar of silver for $10. How many of you here today would buy a 10-ounce bar of silver for $10? Raise your hand. I would. Then nobody would buy it. Nobody would buy it. So he went and got some Hershey's chocolate bars, and he gave them the option. They could either have, not cost them anything, have the 10-ounce bar of silver or a Hershey chocolate bar. Guess what everybody took? Everybody took the candy bar. Not one person took the 10-ounce bar of silver. An ounce of silver is roughly worth $25 in any given time, sometimes up, sometimes down. I think at the day he did it was like $16 an ounce. A 10-ounce bar of silver was worth $160. Now let me tell you where he was at. He was outside of a coin shop where you could have went in and sold that silver for the spot price of the day. And he would even tell people, we can go in here and check this out. But they didn't even know what was valuable. And that's what so many people do today. You know, can I tell you, there's some people who say jewelry, that's, you can make, you know what jewelry's going to be worth if we ever, if our money falls? Yeah, your diamond rings. I hate to tell you this. And that's not me talking. You can do with most economists. There's not, of course you watch TV. Well, on TV, they all of the, them people have diamonds. That's what they do. Yeah, but let me ask you, if there was a depression and you had no food and somebody offered you some beans or some diamonds, which would you take? Yeah. I mean, what becomes valuable at that time is totally different. So everything is temporary. It's not going to satisfy you in that matter. Very quickly, where are we at here? Possessions are temporary in service. How long is my truck going to last? Well, maybe. I hope it lasts till Jesus comes. Yeah, I'm hoping it'll last till Jesus comes. But the truth of the matter is, one of these days, what's going to happen? And think about this. How long am I going to be able to serve? Am I going to be able to serve forever? No. You know? Listen, so there's nothing about any of the things we have that's going to last forever. So number three, material possessions are not trustworthy. They're not dependable. The Bible says in James chapter number 5, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. One of the websites I go to for news, occasionally it'll pop up what Melania Trump is wearing. Christian Dior. Y'all know what Christian Dior means? Lots of money. You know, I just think of somebody wearing a something that costs multiple thousands of dollars to wear. I'm like, I don't understand that. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 talks about riches. God does a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, though, really, really talks, the end of the verse there talks about riches and stuff. Let me just read you something real quick. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And in verse number 17, the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world. What should you not be, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches? If you trust in your riches one of these days, guess what they're going to do? They're going to let you down. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God's given us the things to enjoy. And it's not wrong to enjoy them, but don't put your faith and trust in your riches. And he talks about some other things there. They're not dependable. They're not durable. Revelations 18 verses 11 through 19 is when it talks about how God is going to melt everything with that fervent heat and it's going to be gone, you know. And they're not desirable. The rich man died in Luke chapter number 16. The rich man died and what happened? The Bible says in hell he lift up his eyes. Being in what? What did his riches do for him? Say, preacher, you going to die with $1 million in the bank? Nope. Not. I had a relative on my mom's side that his whole life, all he wanted to be was a millionaire. And he became one. Now, not just, he didn't have $1 million of money, but with what he possessed, his value was over $1 million. And he was in the hospital dying, and he was screaming, bring me $1 million, bring me $1 million. His own daughter will tell you she don't think there was ever a time that he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He got what he wanted most, those possessions. And because of those possessions, some of his kids have gone on and taken what they inherited and went further with it. But now the one that I'm talking about, she loves the Lord and lives for the Lord. They're not desirable at all. I mean, when you get to heaven, you're not going to say, hey, God, look at what I had, you know. So we need to be careful with our relationship to our possessions and to our material things. The Bible says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I was talking to somebody recently, and they were telling me about this young lady who inherited just not a ton of money, but a little bit of money. And he said, I told her, he said, you know, how much do you own your vehicle? She told him, he said, why don't you go pay your vehicle off, and then you don't have that payment. Now, how many of that makes sense to you? That monthly payment's taken care of, that makes sense? But she said, heck no, I'm going to have fun. So let me ask you, what good was all of that? It's just sad. But what happens is wanting things becomes more important than anything else in the world. And so we need to be careful that we do not become materialistic. The most important thing you need to make sure is that you're right with God. Because listen, one of these days we'll get rewards in heaven. How long will those rewards last? For eternity. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in your house today and do this quick Bible study on materialism, Lord. And help us, Father, not to get caught up in the material things of life. There's nothing wrong with having things, but help us to keep a close eye on that so those things don't consume us. Bless and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.